As you begin your walk with God, what happens at some point? Somebody shares with you the good news of Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins, and that by receiving Him as your Savior, you are forgiven of your sins and are given the gift of heaven. It's that simple. But then beyond that, you begin to study God's Word. That's why we have church, to come together to study His Word in a variety of formats and settings, in a worship service like this, in small groups that can take a number of forms. But as you study, you begin to learn truths about God that He wants you to put into your life and to demonstrate in your life. A simple example. One of the truths we know from Scripture is that God desires that you take what is called a spiritual gift and that you use it for His honor and for His glory. And so you hear about that. And if, as you come here and attend here, we have classes to help you discover your spiritual gift. So you discover it, and then you begin to use it in different ways in the church body. And that's good. And that happens in many different ways with many different subjects in the Bible. Giving, that's one of finances. A variety of areas that we hear, we study, and then we obey. But let me ask you something. Is there something more than that? Is there something more that God wants from you and God wants from me in our lives? Now, certainly those are important things that I have mentioned. But what we're going to look at today is something that God says, I want beyond just obedience. Now, obedience is very, very important. Absolutely. Absolutely, obedience is. We're studying a guy by the name of Jonah. We've been looking at his story for a couple of weeks now. We've been following it. He hears a word from God. God says, go tell those Ninevites, people I know you don't necessarily like, go tell them about me. And he says, no way, God, I don't like them. I don't care about them. They can burn for all I care. God's prophet, God's man, says that back to God. He had a lot of spunk. Actually, it wasn't spunk. It's probably more like stupidity. But it was good because we look at this story and we think maybe we're not so far from Jonah in some areas. And so he gets and goes the opposite way of a city called Nineveh. He heads to a port called Joppa, gets on a boat. Then we hear a fish story. And then not long after that, the fish spits him up on dry ground. And then he goes, last week we saw this, he goes back and the word of God came what? A second time. One of the great verses of the Old Testament of the Bible. The word of the Lord came a second time to Jonah. And we talked about the God of a second chance. And that was neat. And so he goes to this city and he actually starts walking through it. And he starts sharing God's message, and the people start to turn. And everybody puts on sackcloth and ashes. They take their clothes off and put these old clothes on. They put dust on their head. Just a picture, a symbol of sincere repentance. And Jonah should be really excited about this. But he's not. And that's where we're going to pick him up today. But the key to this whole chapter, I think, Jonah chapter 4, is what does God want beyond just mere obedience? Christians can obey God, but God wants something more than that. And that's what we're going to look at. We're in a series entitled, God Can Use You. Because if He can use Jonah, man, He can use anybody. Today we're going to talk about after you obey God. We're going to be in Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. And page 655 for the blue Bibles that are provided. Go ahead and open to those if you don't have your Bible. This is a fascinating story. And we're just going to study this. It won't take us too long to get through these 10 verses. But they are very important verses that God has chosen to include in His Word. Jonah chapter 4 verse 1 says this. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became what? Angry. Now this is ironic. He became angry. Why did he become angry? Because the people repented. Now, this is God's prophet. This is what he does. That's one of his key ministries, is to go and tell people and hope that they will turn to God. And they do. And what does he become? Angry? God can use you. Look at Jonah. Wow. You talk about examples in the Bible of individuals and shortcomings. This is huge. He becomes angry. This is almost unthinkable by God's prophet and God's spokesman. All right, what we're going to do is take a little rabbit trail here. We're going to talk about anger for a moment. It's in this verse. It's in chapter 4, verse 1. Let's look at the cause of anger. This is not information that is fully explained here, but we're going to talk a little bit about this. Okay, first and foremost, anger. The cause for Jonah was what? I want these people to go to hell. That was his goal. It is. God's goal was, I want you to go tell these people that they need to repent and turn to me. Anger, the cause of it. The cause of anger, then, is a block goal. So you look at the goal that Jonah had. Jonah's goal was to just see them all go up in smoke. He didn't care. God says, my goal is for them to turn to me. Anytime you deal with anger and people become angry, it's because their goal is getting blocked. That's what's going on with Jonah right here. And so we see in verse 1 that the cause of it is that. What is your blocked goal? What creates anger in your life? Because we all deal with it to a certain degree. Maybe it's the way your kids are behaving. Maybe it's the way your wife or husband is behaving. It can be a block goal. Maybe it's something at your job. Could it ever be that? Something at your job creates anger and tension and frustration. It's a block goal. You just can't get through it. Maybe it's something at church. Sure, it can be something at church. It's not my way, so I'm angry about it. Absolutely, people are like that in the church. Well, we never did it that way, or it's not the way I want to do it, so I'm going to get angry about it. And we have people that get angry in churches, absolutely. All right. Now, if we know what the cause of it is, for Jonah it was just a block goal. What does it lead to? Look with me at verse 2. He prayed to the Lord. And this is another ironic verse. O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. All right? So he didn't get his way. And I think this is a key verse to the whole book of Jonah. We've talked about key verses in different books that we've been through. And in the book of Jonah, chapter 4, right down verse 2, is a key verse. And the idea here is that God is a gracious and compassionate God towards us and towards others. It's interesting. Let's do a little review here for a moment. We did the book of Philippians. I did that almost a year ago. Now, this would be a tough one. What was the key verse in the book of Philippians? Can anybody remember New Testament verse? New Testament book. Philippians, just write this down, 1:27. Conduct yourself worthy of the gospel. We did this. And it talks about, in everything you do, conduct yourself worthy of the gospel. And that, I think, is what Philippians is about. What about in Thessalonians? We did that one more recently. Okay? In Thessalonians, it's 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that God would, what? Set you apart, sanctify you in your spirit, mind, and body. Sanctification, being set apart to God, involves all those areas. And as you go through those chapters in Thessalonians, I think it tells us and outlines those things that God wants to see set apart to Him. And I think in the book of Jonah, when we come, and we'll get through it today, when we go back to it and in your mind, hopefully chapter 4 and verse 2 will stick there, that God is gracious and compassionate, loving and kind. Verse 3,
says this. I can find it. All right. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. It's getting worse for Jonah. He says, let me die. Woe is me. These people are doing what you want them to do, but I don't like that. So I'm mad, I'm angry, and I'm upset. So take my life, God. I don't care anymore. You have to laugh at this. This is just so ironic what's going on here. All right. Now, as we continue on through verses 2 and 3, anger leads to something. And what we have seen in verse 1, 2, and 3, let's just look at a progression here. On your outline, you'll see that you're going to have some keywords we're going to fill in. First and foremost, it leads to bad attitudes. My goal is blocked, so I don't like it, so I'm going to let everybody else know about it, and I'm going to complain, and I'm going to have bad attitudes about it. It happens. Absolutely. From bad attitudes, it goes to bitterness. Bitterness just sets in, and then we become hard, and we just become inward. And we got a scowl. I love God. That's what happens, though. Bitterness is the next thing that comes in. Following bitterness, depression. If you don't deal with this in a healthy way, it will lead to depression. Depression turned inward, inside, down. Can lead to physical problems. And finally, what does this chapter say? Number 4, suicide. If you don't check this pattern, if you don't understand this, and we are watching God's man go through some of this cycle. He's got bad attitudes, he's got bitterness, and he finally says, I want to end it all, God. I don't care anymore. I'm not getting my way, so I'm going to have my little fit and take my life. Ultimately, it can lead to suicide. There are thoughts of suicide. The next step is there is the means to accomplish suicide, and then there is suicide. This is a process that happens, that can happen. All right. Now, what we are doing is we're watching Jonah, and we're seeing this process go on. Now, what we're interested in is saying, how do we deal with this? How do we handle this? Well, there's a couple of ways people do this. How do they handle anger? One way is to blow up. Did I get your attention? That's the way people do it. They just blow up and explode. That's one way of handling anger. Another way is to suppress it. It goes inside and you clam up. You don't say anything. You're just seething inside, clamming up. Beyond that, and this is dangerous, you repress it. You drive it down deep psychologically inside of you. That can be damaging. You repress it. You deny it. That can be hurtful, both physically and psychologically. All right, now, on your outline, how do I control my anger? Let's turn the corner now. We see Jonah in this cycle with this pattern. All right, what we see in verse 2 helps us to begin this. First of all, it's actually a very healthy thing he's doing in verse 2. He is, first of all, admitting it. So, on your outline, you'll see a line there for admit it. Verse 2, he says, God, I knew you were this way. I really didn't like it. I'm really not happy about it. I knew you were going to let these people off the hook, and I didn't want them off the hook. Now, in one sense, it's really bad, but in another sense, he's at least honestly and openly talking to God about it. He is admitting it. And that is the first step. You have to admit that you've got anger. Okay, second, and it's not exactly in this chapter, but if we look at the rest of the New Testament, we know that eventually you've got to, first of all, you're getting second. First of all, admit it. Second, you've got to confess it. You have to, and I think it can take a while to work through this process, but to confess it and to say, God, I am wrong. You know, it's interesting. A lot of anger is directed at God. It is. I don't like what you're doing, God. I don't like what's going on, and I am angry at you, God. When you think about it, a lot of times your anger is directed maybe at a person, but ultimately it's directed at God. He does set things in order. He does have plans.
Be careful when you get upset and angry. You're ultimately, possibly angry at God. You need to confess it. 1 John 1:9. All right. That we can put together, but there's something that happens now in the rest of these verses, and I want to move through them rather quickly, that I think is a key to what God wants from us beyond obedience and also the next step in dealing with anger. So let's look at the rest of this story that's familiar to many, possibly many of you, but if it's not, we're just going to read through this. And we're going to look in on a little counseling session now. A little counseling session with God and Jonah as they talk and go back and forth. Verse 4. Jonah has just said in verse 3, I've had it. Take my life. God says, but the Lord replied, Jonah, do you have any right to be angry? And Jonah heard these words. God just said, I'm going to ask you a question, Jonah. Do you really have a right to? Are you me? Are you God? I am God. I am doing things, and I know you don't like it. But do you really have a right to be angry? There's no response from this. Usually people will ignore or rationalize bad attitudes and anger. And that's what Jonah's doing here. He's just not even responding to it. Then he said, enough. And he says, I'm leaving the city. And so he takes a little trek outside the city. Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. So he goes out and he wants to see what's going to happen to the city. What's he hoping for? Destruction. I've had it, God. Enough of you. Enough of your plans. I'm going outside and I want to see this place toasted. So he goes out and he sits there. All right, interesting little story here. Then the Lord provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. So he goes out there, and it's really, really hot. And so, as it's really, really hot, God provides a vine, interesting, to go and to shade him. Now, what's going on here is God is in the process of teaching Jonah a lesson, and I'm not sure if Jonah ever gets it. He might. But God is teaching him a lesson, and he's going to use this little vine. All right, so it's over him. It's good. The sun's not on him directly. He's feeling much better. Life is good. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. So now a little worm comes into the picture and chews this thing, and the vine shrivels right as the noon or the heat begins to come up for the day. Oh, man. Think of Jonah. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die. Does this sound familiar? And said, oh, man, it would be better for me to die than to live. All right. A hot wind comes. It destroys his plant. And he really likes this plant. And so he turns around and he's really upset that this plant that God provided is now withered and dying. It's not good. But now God comes back. Another question. God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? So Jonah's there and he's pouting about this vine. And God comes in and says, wait a minute. Do you have a right to be angry or upset at this little vine that I provided for you? Jonah's thinking, I don't know if he gets it at this point. I really don't. Let's go to verse 10. But the Lord said, now the Lord's going to do a little teaching. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. Jonah, you care more about this stupid plant that just grew up one night and then it died. You care more about that than you do about that city. That's what he's going to tell him. Verse 11. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? And the book ends. Boom. Interesting. Interesting. We don't know what Jonah does at this point. We really don't. Interesting, though, what God is doing through a series of questions as he asks Jonah these questions and as he asks him about his priorities and as he talks to him about his attitudes. Look at his attitude through most of chapter 4. Folks, it stinks. It's terrible. Woe is me. It's better for me to die. I don't care about those people. All right, I think as we look through this story, there's some helpful things here. Jonah needed a right attitude towards the Ninevites, first of all. He had a wrong attitude towards those people. He needed to adjust that attitude. God wanted more out of him than obedience. You know what? Jonah obeyed God. He did. But God said that's not enough. And here is the key. As we talk about this in our Christian lives, God wants more from you than obedience. He wants that. And He wants that in every area of your life. But He wants more than that. You know what He wants? He wants a right attitude after obedience. And Jonah did not have a right attitude. Look at all of chapter 4. It stunk. It was terrible. It was a wrong attitude. All right. Now, what God is saying, there's a couple things going on here. On your outline, go to this next statement. How do I control my anger? Verses 3 through 11, and what has been going on here is, Jonah, you've got wrong goals. You want to see those people smoked and torched. I want them to experience my love and compassion. How do I control my anger? Is that you've got to adopt his goal for your situation. See, Jonah's attitude, his goal was wrong for this situation. He wanted them destroyed. And I think this helps us so much to understand when we control our anger, we've got to, first of all, admit it. We've got to confess it. And then, as you get to know God better, you're going to see all these situations that come into your life. What does God want you to do in that situation? And what he's telling Jonah is, get rid of your goal of killing these people. I've already saved them. And adopt my goal for this situation. What is God's goal? And you're going to face all kinds of circumstances and situations in your life. And what you've got to do and why you have to study God's Word is to evaluate what is His goal. What does God want in this situation that I'm coming into? What does God want in my work situation? What does God want in my relationship with my spouse? What does God want in my church, in His church, and adopt His goal, not yours? That's the problem. We want what we want. And God says, no, that's not right. Jonah, you cared more about a dumb plant than you care about people. Wrong goal. I care about people. Change your goal, Jonah. I don't think he ever got this. I don't know. We'll ask him in heaven. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. All right. That's how we deal with anger, and that's kind of a subplot through here. But the overriding idea that comes through here is this. What does God want after obedience? In other words, after you obey God, you know what he wants? He wants a right attitude. This is so huge. Jonah chapter 4 is about Jonah's wrong attitude that God points out and says, you have no right to be angry. Change your attitude. You've got wrong goals, Jonah. Adopt my goals. This is a huge, huge, huge thing. You know what? This is what you can control in your life. You can't control your job. You can't control your spouse. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, good. Oh, goodness. This morning as we got up, never will I do this again, where we leave on a Sunday morning where my family leaves and goes on a... It's just too hectic and crazy. And it's not that Ruth is a very organized person, but it's just stuff everywhere and out to the car and back and out, and it's Sunday morning and that doesn't work well. Anyway, so the point of that is I need to have a right attitude. Who said amen? All right. But I do. And you can control this. And you know how it is. It's tough in life to control your attitude. But way too many people in church think they can obey God with a rotten attitude. That is wrong. Jonah chapter 4 speaks to that. That's why this chapter is so important. That you can just be sour, cantankerous, and ornery and say, I'm obeying God? No, that's not good enough. Jonah chapter 4 says, I want you to obey me, but I want you to do it with the right attitude. An attitude of submission if it requires that. An attitude of compassion if it involves that. An attitude of respect if it involves that. Isn't this a huge chapter? This is the attitude chapter in the whole Bible, and we miss it in the Old Testament. God wants more than obedience. Yes, give Him your obedience, but do it with a right attitude and a right spirit. Amen? Thanks, God, for this morning. Thank you for this incredible story of one of your key people in the Old Testament. Thank you, Lord, that we have seen his shortcomings. There are so many of them we have seen in this chapter. And yet, you are still gracious and compassionate to him as well as us. Lord, help us to understand. Help us to be your people that do obey you, but do it with the right attitude. Help us to adopt that attitude towards our neighbors who don't know you. Help us to adopt that attitude in our church family when things don't go our way and we don't like it. Help us to be biblical in this regard. Thank you for Jonah showing this to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can give to you, Lord. We do that gratefully and we praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.